I do remark that I know a bit about again that I don't know anything about.
And the Village are the All-Ireland champion, 19 points to 14. Who said they couldn't win it?
You're very welcome along to the James Stevens podcast with Liam Kelly O'Rourke. This week we look back on an epic draw between the Village and Shamrocks Ballyhale in John Locke Park as we catch up with Keane Kenny. We'll also look forward to the forthcoming Shield final and championship season as we sit down with sharpshooter Owen Guilfoyle. Elsewhere, it was a disappointing night in MW hired Dunmore for the under 19 side. They lost out to Dixburn in the county final. We'll reflect briefly on that and look back and look forward to all the rest of the week's fixtures. And in our Village series later in the programme, we'll hear from the late and very great Georgie Lahey. But we begin in John Locke Park on Saturday as James Stevens and Shamrocks Ballyhale played out a cracking draw in the last round of league matches. The match finished Shamrocks 5-17, James Stevens 2-26, and a nerve-tingling last 9 minutes of added on time saw James Stevens get the point they needed to book a Shield final with O'Loughlin Gales on next Saturday week. The teams were level at 8 points apiece as the clock ticked towards the ninth minute before TJ Reid broke in past the James Stevens defence and after a glorious ball from Owen Cody, netted past Gavin Costigan. This was a blow for the James Stevens men as the water break was called. James Stevens did respond well though through two long range points from Niall Brazel and a well taken point from Willie Spencer to leave the scoreline at 7-1 at the water break. Owen Cody delivered another blow to James Stevens when he planted the ball in the back of the net, and it was goals that were edging it in Shamrock's favour at the break as they led 2-10 to 14 points. James Stevens weren't shy in hitting the net themselves as sub Ethan Butler got in on the act, rebounding on an initial strike from Willie Spencer. For the next few moments, the teams kept cancelling each other out, but the game did turn in James Stevens' favour with 9 minutes to go. Stephen Minot coming on as a sub and marking his impact, giving the Village men the lead for the first time in the contest. Luke Scanlon, with two superb points and a Keane Kenny goal, increasing the City side's lead to 221 to 215. And that was the state of play heading into added on time. But what was to come? Well, no one could possibly expect it. High drama as Owen Cody and TJ Reid inspired Shamrocks Ballyhale with goals and raised two green flags for the South Kilkenny side. And what seemed like an unassailable lead had turned in Shamrock's favour. But fortunately from our point of view, Luke Scanlon responded with 2 points and Keane Kenny chipped in with 3 excellent points in this period to rescue a point for the James Stevens men. Hard to comprehend what happened, but all in all, a point is what both teams had to be content with the full-time score, James Stevens 2-26, Shamrocks 5-17. After the match, I caught up with the scorer of the second Village goal, Keane Kenny.
I sure suppose there's a lot to reflect on the game, you know. A lot of positives to take from it as well, get a good lead against a team like the Shamrocks, but we kind of let ourselves go then in the second half, the last quarter of the game. We kind of sat back when we should have kept pushing on, and the result is evident to itself there. They got a few goals in the last few minutes of the game, and it's disappointing the way we kind of fell off, but look, it's good we're where we want to be, quarter final now in 2 weeks' time, I think it is, 3 weeks' time. So we'll look forward to that and we'll try to learn our lessons then, you know.
Yeah. Did it feel a little bit like a defeat? I mean, James Stevens fancied themselves against the Shamrocks on any day, but to be so far in front going into stoppage time, it was really disappointing, but it's not the end of the world either.
When we wear the Village jersey, we've 100% confidence that we'll beat any team we play, and look, Shamrocks are the same as any other team we go out and play, like, you want to beat them. So defeat, I wouldn't say defeat now, but disappointment, yes, 100% there's disappointment there, and kind of let down ourselves because we had a chance there, 7 points up, and we let that slip. So look, like I said, there's learnings from it, like, you know.
Yeah, and the league has its purpose, it's about winning games, but it's not the be-all and end-all. Did you get out of it what you wanted?
Yeah, 100%. The league's there about getting performances, like you said, Liam, and I feel that, like, after the Glenmore game, we got kind of a kick up the arse, you know. We let ourselves down massively in that game, and I think we're gradually getting to where we want to be, and there's still a lot of performance left in us, so we're looking forward to the rest of the championship.
A Shield final with O'Loughlin Gales, is that the perfect warm up for championship?
Yeah, 100%. O'Loughlin's rivals, they're neighbours, and they're a good team, you know, very good team. You don't want any other test than them to come in to our championship, they'll get you fixed up rightly, so they will.
a word on the management setup. The man needs no introduction. How has the last couple of months been?
Unbelievable, you know. The man's a legend. Like, you know, it's kind of like a privilege to play under him. Like, you know, I got lucky with Kilkenny to play with his last year, and just what he has in the bank, like, is unbelievable. And in fairness to Peter Butler and Joe Hennessy as well, the two lads are legends in themselves too. Like, they're unbelievable. And he's after the three boys are after wearing such a tight kind of passion to us, that we're like, we're such a tight group that we ever were everywhere before, like, you know. And you can see it in us, because we're dying for each other on the pitch, we're killing for each other on the pitch, and that's because of the boys leading us on the sideline too.
And lastly then, Keen, we saw under Seamus Dwyer last year, he wasn't afraid to make changes at different stages with personnel and tactics and all the rest. This year again, Brian Cody has made tweaks here and there. Come championship, I'm sure you won't be afraid to try anything.
No, and that's the thing, Liam, you know, you have to be willing to do anything, you know, whether that's positional changes, personnel changes. So look, Brian has experience, obviously, you know, and if he sees there needs to be a change, he'll do it, you know, and he'll do it for the better of the team, you know, like he always has and he always will.
Ahead of the new championship season, our colleagues at Community Radio Kilkenny City Sport spoke to Owen Guilfoyle, and Nicky Brennan started by asking him what it's like working under new manager Brian Cody.
Yeah, Brian's came in, he's obviously loads of experience, sure, he's a legend. Like, he came in last year as well, in the middle of the year. This year he's the main man. And look, we've been delighted with all the management. Peter Butler, Joe Hennessy, Nathan Cullen as well, they've all come in and done a great job and got us all in great shape heading into the championship. So we can't wait.
How do you feel the year has gone so far? I've actually only seen you in the first match now. I've been at obviously other matches. You've had some very good performances. Maybe other performances you'd like to have been better.
Yeah, we feel we probably haven't been at 100% yet. We haven't had that performance yet. Obviously, our group is very tight. No one knows what's going to happen, so there's been some good and some bad. But sure, yeah, we have Ballyhale on Saturday, so that'll be the last game, and we'll hopefully, you know, get that performance on that day, and then, you know, we'll be in good shape going into the championship.
Now, while Shamrocks Ballyhale are obviously the team that everybody has to beat, Nevertheless there's five or six teams in Kilkenny, among them James Stevens, who are very serious contenders, and I'm sure you feel that way too.
Yeah, sure. Ballyhale, they usually have their toughest games in Kilkenny. Obviously no one knows who's going to be the team to beat them, if it even happens, but sure, we'll obviously be very confident that we can do it this year. We'll have to be confident. Every team is going to be trying to overthrow them. Sure, look, we'll see what happens anyway. We can't wait.
The year is going well for yourself. I mean, you're an extremely good ball player. Your free taking is very good. So you're a key forward for James Stevens now, and I'm sure you know that as well.
Yeah, sure. Just lucky the frees are going all right this year. Sure, yeah, hopefully again the weekend, and then drive it on for knockout.
Wednesday night marked a disappointing evening for the Village Under-19s as their county championship hopes came to a finish at the final stage, losing to Dixborough on a scoreline of 117 to 112. The men in maroon were deserving champions, but the Village gave it their all, and a very tight opening 10 minutes saw the teams level at 2 points apiece. But credit to Dixborough, they battled on and put in a strong closing few moments to the first half to lead at the break by 9 points to five. They started the second half brightly as well, and with 13 minutes to go, built a 112 to 8 point advantage, Sean Keenan with the goal. However, James Stevens never dropped their heads and did find a late consolation goal from Noma Nogue as he captured the Village spirit to keep them going. But it wasn't to be on the night, as Dixborough won out on that 117 to 112 scoreline. Dixborough manager Niall Morrissey reflected on his team's win.
There were really bad conditions, in fairness, and a credit to both sides in terms of how they were able to cope with the conditions, because it was very slippery, very slidey out there, and particularly the free takers were outstanding tonight, I thought, in terms of the conditions. But equally, trying to take shots with a slippery hurl in their hand was, it's a credit to the lads. They really dealt with the conditions excellently. The lads knew what their job was. I mean, you need to command and demand each position, man for man, and it all adds up to a team effort in the end. But in fairness, particularly the back stood firm in that opening half when the conditions were bad, and they went man toe to toe with their men, which is the thing we're seeing with our own lads this year. They're all manning up in terms of their positions and playing strong and playing like men, because this is an adult competition at this stage. So that's one thing we're particularly proud of, how much the boys manned up and were able to command their positions in every part of the field.
Looking back on the rest of the week's results, starting with last Friday's games in the under-13 Ryan B hurling championship first round, the Emeralds got the better of James Stevens by 112 to 7 points. On Sunday, the James Stephens Juniors were in action. They won handsomely over Clara on a scoreline of 327 to 18. We'll have more on the junior team in our next episode. Looking at this week's fixtures then, on Saturday it's the Kilkenny Vehicle Centre Minor Sea Hurling Championship. John Locks take on James Stephens in Callan at 5 o'clock. On Saturday it's the Minor Ryan A Hurling Championship semi-final. O'Loughlin Gills, the opponents for James Stephens. Throw-in in MW Hire is at 12:30. We'll have post-match reaction from that game on our next episode. Elsewhere, the juniors are back in action next Tuesday night. They head to Ballyragget to take on Lisdowney at 7 o'clock. While next Saturday, we have the Under-15A Championship Shield semi-final. James Stephens do battle with St. Patrick's from 10:30. That game's scheduled for the Kells Road. While their senior hurlers are back in action, they take on O'Loughlin Gales in the Shield final with throw-in in UPMC Nolan Park at 1 o'clock. And finally, don't forget to support our senior Camogie team this Saturday. They take on Piltown in a Michaeline Motors Hyundai League semi-final at 4:15 in Danesfort. Now we reflect on the life of Georgie Lahey. The James Stephens great passed away in 2017 and left a hurling legacy like no other. And in a two-part series, he spoke to Barry Enriquez back in 2015.
Georgie, you've had a tremendous interest. Where did all your interest in hurling start, Georgie?
School, Barry.
Did it?
School.
Where?
Patrick's, Dennis Hall.
Who was teaching you that time?
There were Dennis Hall brothers.
Yeah.
There were very little lay people. Well, I won't say lay people, but ordinary people weren't teaching that time, but it was odd. CBS had a CBS, we had a Dennis Hall, and there was a man there, and he came and he kind of turned it over, and a man called Brother Cyril.
Yeah.
He was a Cork man. And we won the championship in 49.
Yeah.
And that was the start of it. And I never had any interest in anything else, only the hurling after that.
Yeah. And like, you're born in the bred village, man.
Yeah, right in the middle of the village, actually, in Patty Street.
As I said,
between the pump and the arch. They were an arch.
That qualified you.
That qualified.
That was definitely qualification.
For to be a village man, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. many of you were in your family?
Name them.
Me, Michael, Murty, you.
Martin.
That was Murty, wasn't it?
Morty now is my son, but you're talking about my own family.
Yeah, your own family.
Oh,
yeah.
Antoinette and John and Thomas and Morty and Niall.
And Niall and you.
Yeah.
You played, was there juvenile competition at that stage?
No, it was a parish.
Yeah.
You play with your school, and then under 16 it was parish.
Yeah.
There were no such thing as Loughlin's in the village at Dixburg at that time. It was St. Canis and St. Patrick's, St. John's, and St. Mary's.
St. Mary's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you come to minor, you could play with who you like because the town was all one parish.
It was parish hurling then. Like, Tom Waldron was a man that was you were very familiar with around that time, wasn't it? Because you eventually became very involved at underage hurling within the county.
Yeah, well, it was, you could say I was born an old chairman for 12 or 13 year, and got involved with that way, as we say, officialism. And then I was involved with every club, every team in the county one time. Every team.
But can we take you back to the village? You hurled with the village, and you trained the village,
yeah.
And you won. I mean, you were manager when they won the first one.
Yeah.
All-Ireland Cup and the second one.
The second one, yeah.
Yeah. What was your memory of the first one, George?
Well, everyone thinks in the village that it was the best thing ever happened to the club to win the Club All-Ireland because we're the first Leinster team in it to win it.
Yes.
But I always put on win the first championship was the most important.
Senior.
Yeah. Because we won the junior championship in 55 and we didn't win the senior one until 69.
That was a big gap.
But then, Barry, we weren't good enough to win it. And then it was a knockout system. If you win the first round, you're in the second. Yeah. If you lost the first round, you were gone for the year.
For 12 months?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I remember in 68, Fresh for Bishops be a pint. And Brian, Benaragut, and I had a bond behind, and no one had me, you could hand pass into the net like that. And instead of handing into the net, I pushed it on the ground, so that would go on. And I hit a shot and went out wide. But Freshford won the championship that year.
Yeah.
But the following Wednesday night, or during the week, we were in a tournament in Dunamagan. And we had a bit of a job then to get a team because we were after being beaten at the championship. So we went down then and we won that.
And that picked you up again?
That picked us up again and we won the championship in 69 the following year. And there was great teams in that tournament now. There are Aaron Zoyle and all from Marth were them, Carrick Davins and all from that. That picked us up.
Yeah.
Only for that, I'd say, you never know what happened, but yeah, it did pick us up with that, you know.
Yeah. You were manager of both teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did you stop hurling? Competitively.
73.
Did you?
Mm.
Yeah.
We were beaten by a pint with Johnstown one evening in the park, and a right game, so I gave it up, didn't I? I was involved coaching teams since 60.
But that was a new innovation, wasn't it? Outside coaches.
Yeah, well, I say I won't say a coach, but training. Someone had to take over the under 16 team, and someone had to take over the minor team.
Yes.
But I took over the under 16 team, myself and another couple of lads. And
in the village?
In the village. And I remember, it's hard to believe this now, Barry.
Yeah.
I remember myself and Bill Cordy, Lord have mercy on him, going around every house in the parish and knocking at the doors. Looking for hurlers.
Jenny.
No, that's a fact.
Yeah.
Nothing. One woman came out and said, I have three or four lads in here. She said, I don't know whether they're any good to hurling, but I send them out to you.
Yeah.
So that started, and 65 then we got to a minor county final after struggling up to that.
Yeah.
And we won it, we were beaten by Norm Thomas on my bite, Ballyhale and Frank Cummins and Morris Mason and all that team. So we got to the final in 66 and we won it. So that kept the momentum going. I mean, from 1960 to, why are we now, 2015, is a long time to be training teams.
It is, yeah. But Kilkenny realised, the county as a whole realised the value in coaching of young lads. No longer was it good enough to just let them come willy-nilly. Somebody had to organise it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there was great value in that.
Oh, there were great value. I remember one time...
And of course, winning kind of added to the value, didn't it?
Yeah, and I remember one time we were very strong at the time and the other team in the city weren't as strong.
Yeah.
So I remember getting a tournament up and we mixed them all together.
Yeah.
Just trying to get everyone back hurling.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, things like that.
Yeah.
And actually, there were great men around as well. Other people, of course, it wasn't only me or it wasn't only Joe Swope, it was everyone.
Yeah.
But I was involved then. I mean, it's a long time from
the 60s right through to present day time.
Yeah.
But then Borden Oak came in, you know, you became chairman of Borden Oak.
Yeah.
Difficult job, George.
A different job, yeah. And
difficult,
job.
Yeah.
A difficult job, yeah, because my philosophy, like, is, you know, when you have a club, you're right to win as much as you could, but you have to take into consideration all the other clubs are trying to keep it going with smaller numbers and all. So it's great to see all them clubs coming on. And now, you know, at the present day, there's some clubs giant.
Yeah.
For example, you have Ganmai and Wine Gap, right? You know, you have clubs like that. But there was great interest in it. There was great interest in it. There weren't as many sports now as they are now. Just hurling, mostly hurling, like, you know.
Yeah.
Now we have other games and people are entitled to play what they like, we know that.
Yeah.
But I never took any interest in anything, only the hurling. Now other people have other sports and they're thinking that they have, that's their interest. But you just have to go and work on it. There's nothing easy, Barry.
No, nothing.
There's nothing easy. There's no way of saying that it's easy, you know.
No. What took you outside of your county first? How did that happen?
Michael Delaney took me over the county first with Leash.
Oh.
Because he was a chairman of the hurling board in Leash, and he got me in. I won't say manager, but over the Leinster team, and they didn't happen to win the hurling, the provision of title for so long, and so
the Railway Cup,
Railway Cup, and so then I went to Leash, and I remember the first day we were going up in the minibus, and there were lads ringing all over the place. I won't be there, I won't be there. We ended up in O'Toole Park that time with 11 players. So I said, well, I might have to put myself in
what
for here.
What am I doing here, yeah.
Yeah. So the next thing, a car drove in, there were four lads in there from Rathdowney. So it started from there. I remember...
What year was that, George, roughly?
Yeah, it was probably just 78, maybe. 78. Okay. Yeah. I remember training the Leash team in Port Leash. And we were talking out in 6 inches of water in the dressing rooms.
Dear.
We used to stand up on the forums, yeah. And go out in and train where the car park is now, which is just an army out and muck and locks and everything. And people were amazed that I didn't start cribbing about the conditions.
Yes.
But I was saying, look, we'd go on with it, it'd get better, it'd get better.
That's the best they can do at the moment.
Yeah, and look what they've done then. Now look at this.
Absolutely.
They were trying to work on it, but that's the conditions that were working. They were hurling, and people didn't realise that.
Yeah, you brought him to a Leinster final against a very good Offaly team.
Yeah,
and you were done.
Well, we were unlucky. We put it that way.
Well, the ball didn't go into the net, George.
No, it didn't go into the net. No, but sure, look, you take them lads. The boys start smiling when the flag went up at Horton and Flaherty, and all. They start smiling, yeah. But sure, we got to the league quarter finals and we got to the semi finals and we led the Division 1 hurling for a couple of Sundays, and we got to the centenary of Ireland, which every team in Ireland was in it, the Corporation and that. But we had great days. They were great men. No matter what you ask them to, there were no such thing as cribbing.
Yeah.
Cribbing about nothing. No such thing as I want a pair of boots and I want a new talk. You just go on with it. Sure, that's the name of the game. You go on with it. And then they proved the way to prove that is start winning.
Yeah.
Everyone wants a winner. That's it, like, you know.
Yeah. First is first, second is nowhere, as they say.
Yeah.
Georgie, did you ever stop and think of the number of counties you actually coached in?
I do. I remember Barry training Westmeath.
Yeah.
There's that up there. Lynch was his name. He came down there one day and he said, "Jeez," I said to him, "Kevin, it's a woeful journey up to Mullingar in the night time and back again and up again." And I used to come into telecom here at 5 o'clock in the van and go into the car and drive straight to Mullingar. And some nights I'd come home at 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning because he might be picking the team.
Yeah.
And then I remember one Sunday going off here about 6:45 and going up to Keady in Armagh to play a league match. And that time the league match would be in at 1 o'clock because the troubles were in the north, so you'd have to be in and out.
In daylight.
Up through Cavan and fierce. But I didn't remind them really, just go on and go, and if you take it you do it and you do the best of your ability.
Why'd you do it?
Because you go up sometimes very different. There might be only 8 or 10 training. They mightn't see the end of the tunnel, like, you know, no light at the end of the tunnel. But you have, they had to keep it going, and they kept it going. Why did they do it? Yes, I loved it, Barry.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It's a very simple answer to a simple question.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you wouldn't do it unless you did, like, you know.
That's true.
But when you get the habits of saying no, you're in terrible trouble.
Yeah.
People ask you to do a thing. I got great kicks out training junior teams, and, you know, I won a championship with yourself with the Locks, and
that's right.
I won two juniors with Paul Stone, and you know, you get great kick over, like, you know. Yeah.
In addition to all the ones you won with the Village.
Barry, when you went to see the juniors after winning, or there were no intermediate at that time, and the joy on them lads' faces, and then the club, and the whole parish. Yeah, the whole parish. You know, you kind of expected to win with the Village some matches anyway, but these days, starts off and you have 12-3 and you have 8-3 and the next thing you win a few matches and it picks up and then the county final come and you mightn't have enough of jerseys for lads.
You must be the most patient man around.
Well,
you know, some lads that see 8 and 10 in the field and go home say, this is no good.
Yeah.
You never did that.
Never done that. But you see, Barry, the way I looked at that, you're going home on the last stair.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, you're not going home, the Nas is not there. You're going home on the Nas that are there. Yeah. So you keep going and going and hoping that you turn around, like, you know.
Yeah. What kind of counties? You were in Westmeath, Carlow, Wexford, Laois, Offaly.
Waterford,
Offaly.
Offaly, yeah, yeah. Won a Leinster title with Water or with Offaly.
You won a Leinster title in when?
Barry, not great days, yeah. But we won it anyway. And we were in Division 2 and we won that, and then we were in the league final.
Yeah.
As Division 2 we had tip pressures, and then we won the Leinster final. We beat Wexford in Croke Park. So that was a good old day as well, like, you know.
All decent people, hurling people are all decent people. Did you? And you went up north coaching on sessions, didn't you?
I did. I went up to Tyrone and them places. Yeah,
with Brendan O'Sullivan.
Yeah, oh yeah. Go out there in the morning, go out there at 7:30 in the morning or 7 o'clock up to Longford, Westmeath, Laois, Tyrone, yeah.
Derry.
Yeah, but you. All them.
I could name them all, George.
Yeah, I know you could. And then. Just to try to keep the thing going. Remember Stitchy Ferguson was there one day and he was trying to keep the thing going in Meath.
In Meath.
And there was a lad down and they were a bit of an old exam after the old coach, and you know, and your man was scratching his head, and I knew he was in trouble because I'd be in trouble myself, I wouldn't be great. So
Answer questions.
I felt terribly sorry for him, and I said to Stitchy, yes, your man is in a bit of trouble. He's in no trouble, he said, because he's one of the best coaches we have. He might be able to put down in the paper.
Yeah.
So I went down and I said, look, yeah. So, granddad, you have lads like that.
Of course you have.
You have lads like that, yeah.
Yeah.
You saw the locks. You're abroad training with me myself and belong the locks.
And that concludes this week's episode of the James Stevens Podcast. Thanks to all the contributors and to you for listening. We'll do it all again, same time, same place next week.